Well, we're here. This is Christmas of 21. And we've been studying Romans, and we've been looking at Romans 12. And we've been forced to consider Paul's command to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And Paul says, it's our reasonable service. Then in verse 2, Paul continues, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in our minds to the good, acceptable will of God. A Christian's life is to be one of reasonable sacrifice. So much for the pursuit of happiness. We're not to give in to the whims and desires that we all have in our flesh. Now, for us to consider a sacrifice, we need to look at the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is full of animal sacrifices. Sheep, in particular, were used as the go-to sacrifice. Doves and bulls, they were also used, but sheep were the animal of choice for the sin sacrifice. The head of the family, usually the father, would bring a spotless lamb to the priest. He would place his hands on the head of the lamb while the priest slit the throat of this lamb. And you would feel the life drain right out of this sheep as it bled to death with your hands on its head. And this example showed the severity of sin to the Godhead and how a lamb had to pay with its very life for your sins and just for a covering of your sin. Many times, the lamb offered, if you were a poor family, was like the family pet. And killing the lamb was a solemn event. But the killing of a lamb was a payment in God's economy for the cost of sin. And in a family that would keep a lamb as a pet, the children often would look upon the sacrifice of their little lamb as a sorrowful event. And during Passover week, there in Jerusalem, the Kidron, the creek that flowed just outside the city walls, would turn red from the blood of the thousands of sheep that were sacrificed. Now, Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, and he tells all who will listen, this sacrificing of sheep is an example of the type of a life of a Christian believer. We're to be a sacrifice. And these were not just words of devotion or catchy words, but we were to live out, the sacrifice example of that lamb. And so today we read Paul's words to us, and he says, present ourselves as a sacrifice. And we can glaze right through these examples Paul is telling us to consider without really taking into account what a sacrifice is. However, Paul writes to this first generation of believers at Rome. And these Roman Christians, most of them moving out of the Jewish faith, were very familiar with animal sacrifice. A vivid example, not so far removed in years from their past life as an Orthodox Jew. But animal sacrifice stopped in 70 AD when Rome destroyed the temple there at Jerusalem. And so for 2,000 years, animal sacrifice to a Jew has only been symbolic. Today, the Jews have what they call the Day of Atonement, where they judge their lives based upon good works versus bad works. Have I done more good things this year than bad things? And if I've done more good things, then God must be pleased with me because of my works. And the Orthodox Jew still clings to that belief. They must symbolically clear their conscience of sin by considering works. And we know no one is saved by works. It's through the blood of Jesus. But Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, he reminds all believers of the sacrifice system, how blessed we are to have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who by suffering the cross for every believer, he paid the price of the supreme sacrifice. So we must ask, or it's pertinent that we ask, what was the mindset of Jesus here on earth? For the cross was not just a lamb, and we have Jesus suffering for all of humanity. And in Philippians, it tells us what the mindset of Jesus was. So turn to Philippians 2, and we'll look at verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul, he will use Jesus as our example or our pattern of commitment. Look at the way Jesus took upon his role to come, suffer, and die. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Jesus didn't think of himself more highly than what was truth. He is and was and will be equal with God the Father. He is God. Back when Jesus was on trial for his life by the Sanhedrin, the high priest are determined that they're going to execute him, and they're going to Pilate and seeking permission to execute him and everything, and they desperately want to kill Jesus because they consider his words blasphemous. And they ask Jesus, the high priest does, who are you? Jesus confessed, I'm as you say, I'm the Son of God. And this is more than a high priest can handle. This is more than he can comprehend. And he tears his robe in anguish at Jesus' confession that he is the Son of God. And the high priest says, what further proof do we need? For he has blasphemed to the maximum here. He has declared himself as God. But Paul, he gives us more detail. Jesus humbled himself in that he came in the form of a man. He humbled himself to become one of us. Like, but then he goes further and says, and he became the servant of man. Not only a man, but a servant of man. And we get an example of this when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He asked them, "Do you know what I've done? I took on the lowest form of a servant by washing your feet." The foot washing was the least servant's responsibility in a Jewish household. And he says to his disciple, "Do you know what I've done?" And he says, "Do likewise. You go and do likewise and have the same mindset that I have." But Peter objects. And Peter is not willing to wash the other disciples' feet, nor are they willing to wash his feet. And so we ask, if we're not careful here, we can draw lines of who and how we will serve one another. How we will serve the body of Christ. Jesus humbled himself to even appear as a man. Next, we read that Jesus was obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross, which was a horrific way to be executed. In Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of Christ, we see the brutality and suffering of the cross prior to the crucifixion by Jesus, and the pain and agony, they were over the top. It was Rome's way of enforcing their authority. And it was a brutal thing to be crucified and suffer under Rome. But Jesus not only suffered physically, he was taunted. He was reviled by his accusers. And they said to him, "If you are the Christ, save yourself. Come down from the cross." Now, there's a part of me that wants Jesus to come down and show him. "Okay, Jesus, come off of that cross, slay your opponents, and then go back to the cross, because that's what we need." But we can't have it both ways. The cross was the reason Jesus came to earth. The reason he took on the form of a babe in a manger. He came, he lived, ministering to man as a sacrifice. And he pleased God the Father above measure. Jesus fulfilled his mission of dying for mankind, and it all began as a babe in a manger. Now, when we see the Christmas setting, the scene, the babe in a manger, do we relate it to him dying on the cross? That was his purpose. That was why he came. And in verse 9 of our text, "Therefore God the Father has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name above every name." The obedience of Jesus was well-pleasing to God the Father. God was pleased that his son was so obedient. In verse 10, God says, "And at the mention of his name," at the mention of Jesus, "every knee should bow, those of heaven, those of earth, and those under the earth." As Christians, as believers, don't we just long for the glorification of Jesus? I do. I really do. Sometimes I go to a movie theater and I sit in there thinking, what if I were to stand up and yell out, "Jesus Christ is Lord"? What kind of a response would we get? I'm afraid to do it. But God is very patient with us. And he's long-suffering. The glorification of Jesus is an absolute truth, but mostly yet to come. It'll come on the final judgment day. So Paul, realizing the obedience of Jesus and how God the Father will honor Jesus on judgment day, every tongue, not most, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a glorious day that will be. And the plan of God for our redemption by Jesus upon the cross glorifies God the Father. Today, it's only believers, it's only Christians who confess Jesus is Lord. And what a privilege it is before Judgment Day to confess and glorify Jesus. But that draws my attention back to Romans 12:1, where Paul, he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God before the day of judgment, we as Christians get to glorify Jesus as God. That's our privilege. That's an honor. So this Christmas season, celebrate the coming of Jesus, him taking on the form of a man, being born into humility, being born into poverty. He came to earth to provide salvation, fellowship with God via the cross. Even as a young boy in the temple, Mary and Joseph found him. And they said, son, what have you done to us? And he said, I had to be about my father's business. His father's business was the cross for Jesus. And even at an early age, he realized this. So, with that in mind, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And so let me get you to stand and we'll close in prayer. Father God, how we thank you for your marvelous plan of salvation through Jesus. Lord, we glorify in Jesus today because we have eternal life. You've saved us. You've delivered us from a life of unfruitfulness, and you've given us an opportunity, Lord, to live a life of meaning, and we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for making Jesus real to us. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross with all its humiliation, with all its suffering, with all its pain, and yet that's why you came. You came to make a way for us to have fellowship with you and for us to have salvation. So we give you thanks. And so, Lord, this Christmas of 2021, may we glorify you in all that we say and do. May all of our activities glorify you, Lord, for your goodness to us, for coming, suffering, and providing a way that we can have fellowship with you. So we give you thanks. Make Christmas 2021 a glorious time, Lord. Bless these, your people, with your presence. And we pray for this in the name of Jesus.